Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Snap on third down. Back to throw. Good pickup block. McGovern into the end zone. It is caught by Schultz. Touchdown over McLeod. And that is saving the drive. Wow.
Brad Sham will join us as the voice of America's team at 8:40. It's not fist pump time, Bobby Belt.
Oh.
See how long it'll take for you to learn that that is at 9 a.m.
Usually I'm here for 3 hours by the time I start pumping my fist. I guess my internal clock messed me up.
Poor Bobby with the 5:30 a.m. start time in Choppy's chair today and tomorrow here on your home of the Cowboys. Hey, let's just recap the Giants game. First time together since they actually played on Thanksgiving Day. You were there. I was getting buzzed on the couch with a ton of frustration in the first half. I felt like huge plays were made by the Cowboys versus them not being made by the Giants. Huge third down conversions. Some of the Dak Prescott numbers are outstanding with the way he played in the second half of this game. I felt like I was watching deja vu against the Raiders last year with the 13 penalties. One of the topics with Michael Irvin on First Take was, what did we learn about the Cowboys? And I agree with Stephen A. Absolutely nothing. I learned nothing. I was just happy to get the W, get the win in the division. It was pretty impressive in terms of some big plays from Dak in the second half. Other than that, I'm taking away nothing, and let's move on and try to play better against Indianapolis Sunday night.
Yeah, tale of two halves. First half was a bunch of shooting yourself in the foot. And just, you know, those two interceptions were bizarre. The first one because of where Dak seemingly thinks he has a free play. And then he said postgame he thought he did. And then he wasn't quite sure if they got the flag. So he decided to make a safer throw. But even still making the safer throw, he was throwing it expecting a comeback from Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup keeps going down the sideline, gets picked off there. And then on the second one, just a really tough, tight window throw that gets batted in the air and picked off. But, you know, not a great first half. Looked incredibly sloppy. And then, you know, the Jonas Brothers came out, rocked things.
I heard Chris Arnold driving in saying that you're a humongous fan of the Jonas Brothers.
I think that we can accept the fact, much like we did with, like, you know, Justin Timberlake, right? Like, Justin Timberlake had his NSYNC days, and then he came into his own as an artist, as an adult. And I think we should accept the same about the Jonas Brothers. The Jonas Brothers make good music now. It's not the Disney poppy stuff.
Did you, like, run down to the field like Evan McPherson, the Bengals kicker, to be out there for the halftime show? Did you fanboy out? Did you get close to them? Did you talk to them?
I was close to Joe Jonas at one point when he was walking by our NFL Network set. Jane got a selfie with his wife.
Very important.
Yes. But I didn't get to go down. I think Joe Trahan from Cowboys PR would have made sure I didn't. And so I wasn't able to sneak down there and go for it. But they come back out in the second half and score on their first, you know, whatever, three possessions or whatever, going on a 21-0 run. And by that point, it was over. And so, just a really strong, impressive second half. But that first half just had you a little uneasy. It's funny, I was sitting next to Walchuk in the press box, and even when they were losing, he's like, hey, this is one of those games where they're still gonna win by two touchdowns. And it's like, yeah, I guess so. I guess
some,
that's what it ended
got
up being.
Screwed with that backdoor cover. They are already 9-point favorites against the Colts. Translate this, since RJ is out with some of his nerdy numbers. Tell me what this means. Dak completed plus 17.7% of his passes over expected. the highest CPOE by any quarterback in a game with 30 or more attempts over the last three seasons. What does that mean?
So what that means is completion percentage over expectation. And there are different formulas for it. Ben Baldwin has one that's related to down distance and stuff like that. When Next Gen Stats quotes that, theirs is related to certain proprietary data they have that's not available to the public. But that has to do with separation and other factors. But what that basically means is if he completed 70% of his passes on Thanksgiving. So that means that the expectation, the expectation given how close defenders were and everything else is that he should have only completed 52.3% of his passes. And so it means that he was completing stuff in really tight windows.
It's like in basketball, you're making difficult shots.
Essentially, yeah. It's like if you've got a 40% three-point shooter and all of them are with a hand in his face instead of wide open in the corner.
His air yards average on third down, 17.8. That was basically my summary for the second half. I'm like, here they are being a dumb football team again, screwing themselves, third and long situations, but the bailout came with a big play. That's the way I felt about the second half with Dak offensively. Like, oh, huge. Oh, as you're sitting there, you're mad at first and second down that you're in the third and long, and they converted them as he was sitting there putting the ball in the air. 18 yards down the field? That's incredible.
It is, absolutely. And I just want to make reference to Peyton at 8:07:30 to pull Sean there.
Yeah, pull me.
Yeah, do and that too, please. No, but it was one of those where he
pull
was...
Pull me what? What are we marking?
No, we're marking Sean. I don't want to say because you just said just where he said huge O and sounded really like ooh, excited about one. It.
8:07:30 I'll write
yeah,
that
8:07:30.
I thought it was a Dak compliment.
No.
But you know, I'm the only one in the city capable of any balance, so I can give compliments.
Oh, is that so? You're the only balanced one.
Yes, balance. That should be my middle name. That's why I'll name the second child.
That's fine. You take your balance. I'll just take being right every time.
Okay. But it does not seem to me, again, and this is why I do find some value in these numbers, since his return from injury in week 7, he's been number one in EPA, CPOE amongst all NFL quarterbacks. That means, like, he's playing above the average.
Above expectation.
Yeah.
Above, and so, you know, it's EPA is expected points added. And so that's basically he's leading the NFL in the difference between how much points are expected and how much points you actually added whenever you're moving the ball down the field. And so what he's doing basically is playing well above the set. So for all the criticism that's there, the analytics, the data say that he's playing much better than anybody's given him credit for.
Do you think he's been like outstanding since he's come back?
I think he's had moments where he's been outstanding. I think he's had moments early on in games specifically where he hasn't been great. I don't think he was great early on against Green Bay, obviously. And the other day, I don't think he was super great in the first half. But other than that, I think he was, you remember I said I thought he was good against the Lions. I thought he was really good against the Bears, really good against the Vikings, and really good in the second half of Green Bay and New York.
What was your other big takeaway from Thanksgiving and the win?
I mean, they're all like, I think we need to accept the fact at this point that they're always going to commit penalties. And Steven came on with Will Chambers and I when we were doing G-Bag on Friday and talked about how it's unacceptable and we've got to, you know, fix this. And I understand that that's got to be his position. But the reality of it is, I think, is that the team and the fans should just expect you're going to be put in a hole by penalties.
Yep.
Like, that's this team. We're a year and a half into this now, of this being a massive problem. And you've
the amount that was in the red zone the other day. Mm-hmm. Like, when they're inside the 10, 15, 20, and it's like, what are you? This is maddening. It's maddening.
Now, those officials on Thanksgiving were awful. Like a big part of this is Dallas. But,
here we man, go.
No. I'm not the one to do this. But I'm just saying, Thursday, it was not good. There were bad calls against both teams. Dallas got some bad flags. Giants got some bad flags. Both Dallas and the Giants were not called for penalties that probably should have been called. And so it was wildly inconsistent officiating. Second year in a row that the officiating on Thanksgiving, one of the biggest, you know, national spectacles of the year, has been way too much about the officials.
This was a crew that had that reputation, right? Did you see the numbers on this crew?
Scott Novak. Yeah, they absolutely are one of the most flag happy ones. And that's what they got last year. Whose crew was it last year that they had this happen with. I can't recall. It may have been Hockley's son, Sean Hockley. But
the 13 penalties match the season high assessed towards any team in a game this year. Jacksonville had two 13-penalty games and Denver won. Third consecutive game, the Scott Novak crew has slapped 10 or more penalties on the Cowboys. Third straight game, if Scott Novak is on assignment, the Cowboys are getting 10 penalties or more.
Yeah, and that, look, that's just...
But I don't want to excuse that.
No, no, look, like I said...
They commit stupid penalties.
They do.
They're undisciplined and... They're dumb in moments.
The officials can be inconsistent, and you can also be an undisciplined, you know, penalty happy dumb football team at times. Like, both those things can be true.
Yeah.
But I think that that's just sort of what you have to expect, is you're going to have to bail yourself out a couple times, because every game you're going to commit dumb penalties. And Dak did it. Yeah.
How about Jalen Smith with this elbow drop? What is this
the
guy?
People's elbow?
Do? What is this guy doing?
You remember he used to do that in Dallas too. Whenever there'd be like a dog pile, he'd like, if it's still moving, he'd try and jump up there and take it.
McCarthy kind of excused it.
Yeah, because I think nobody like dislikes him. And so they don't want to take a shot against him or whatever. If they lost that game, maybe it's a little different, but like maybe his tone is a little different when he's talking about it, but it is just like, it's kind of funny the way Mike said it, where he's like, yeah, I think you see a lot of Jalen doing that. It's like, and you do. He just jumps onto piles to look like he's, you know, try hard guy.
How about the ratings record? Most watched regular season game on any network ever with 42 million viewers. Most watched regular season game ever. Up 49%. You have a 50% increase over last year's game. Now, remember, they alternate the networks. So last year it was Lions-Bears, and it was up 3% over the window last year, which was the Cowboy game. But the most watched regular season game ever got a 24.5 in the Metroplex. So about a quarter of the entire city was watching on Thanksgiving Day.
That's the New York Giants effect. You know, when the Giants are on, they bring in eyeballs.
The number one market and the most people in the entire country.
Yeah.
So I think that does have a factor.
I don't. I think it's Daniel Jones specific. I think that people just want to see him tear up the Cowboys.
There we go.
Boy, I thought the Giants actually had a decent game plan. Like they were doing some different stuff with misdirection, and they actually tested Anthony Brown a couple times. And and Anthony Brown is just...
The confidence has to be gone. You talk to him in the locker room. Can you see it?
I mean, you can talk to he doesn't talk a ton. Recently, when he had the concussion and stuff, he hasn't been in there, and so we haven't seen him a bunch. But yeah, I mean, he's not been very good the last several weeks. It's funny, we were doing grades the other day, like player grades for the season on G-Bag, and like Anthony Brown was one of the only guys on the entire team I had below a C. Like He's not good. He's not consistent. And
can there be a replacement?
There's not a good option.
It's not your guy, Deron Bland, that's for sure.
Well, Bland's in the slot now.
Yeah.
And Bland's been fine. Like, he's been fine. Is he Jordan Lewis? No. But for a rookie having to hold down the slot, he's playing much better than Anthony Brown is. Honestly, there's no good option. Because, I mean, Kelvin Joseph has struggled getting out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they want to see... They clearly don't have enough trust in Nashawn Wright to put him out there. They haven't, you know, taken
that
step.
He's still on the team?
He is. I guess you could give it a shot with Israel Mukwamu, who plays safety for you but was a corner in college, had a couple good reps in training camp on CeeDee Lamb in the slot. You could try and see if Mukwamu could play corner, but, I mean, right now I just think they don't have any good options. If they did, Anthony Brown would probably be on the bench.
All right, Brad Sham, the voice of the Cowboys, will join us at 8:40 this morning here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tola. Hopefully you had a fantastic and safe Thanksgiving break. Glad you're back with us. Cowboys-Colts, and again, opening up as 9-point favorites for Sunday Night Football. The Dallas Mavericks are signing a 4-time All-Star. Will it make any difference? And we'll go around the rest of the NFL before Brad joins us next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Behind the back to Wood. Wood, a show and go. Drives the lane and a big-time hammer dropped by Wood.
All right. Just got a Christian Wood highlight for Bobby Belt in Choppy's chair today and tomorrow here on Sean and RJ. Brad Sham, the voice of the Cowboys, will join us at 8:40. And the developing news this morning, the Mavericks, according to Mark Stein, are signing Kemba Walker, the four-time All-Star. I'll just read the Facebook responses from the Tolos.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher, sweet. We found a time machine and went back to 2018. Ty, awesome. About 4 years late. Zach, if we only had him at the beginning of the season, we'd be 10-9.
Right.
Not 9-10 after they lost to the Bucks. That audio from Bally. They'll be taking on the Warriors tomorrow. Brian, more freaking rejects. Jeff, if he shoots better than Hardaway, bring it.
Sure.
Hell yeah, let's go from Sal. Justin, LMAO, just like the Cowboys, miss out on a player, then bring them back post-injury or years later, hoping to get the diamond in the rough. Look how smart we are. So, Tolos, not falling for the four-time All-Star edition of Kemba Walker.
No, and I mean, I think the right take there is the one that... I don't remember which listener you said it was there, but the one who said that, you know, as long as he shoots better than Tim Hardaway Jr. That, I mean, that's honestly all I want from him at this point. Because I mean, you've got a guy in...
You're not in the Mike Bassick, Tim Hardaway fan club?
No. Look, I get it. Bassick being a baseball guy thinks, you know, .311 is a great average, not realizing that's not for baseball. That's his shooting percentage, and it's not good.
No, Mike is definitely against Tim Hardaway. Definitely. Make no mistake about that.
But it's just, I mean, look, all he's got to do is come in here and be better than Dorian Finney-Smith shooting, you know, 33% from three, and Maxey shooting 30, Luka shooting 30, Tim Hardaway Jr. shooting 29, Bullock shooting 28.
Are these the season percentages? Yeah. Okay, give me those again.
You've got Dorian Finney-Smith at 33%, Kleba at 30, Luka at 30. Hardaway at
field
20.
Goal?
This is three point.
I was like, whoa.
This is Tim Hardaway, 29%. Reggie Bullock, 28%.
Oh, my Lord.
Field goal percentages for those guys. Dorian Finney-Smith is 42%. Kleba, 43%. Luka, 50%. Tim Hardaway Jr., 31% total from the field. Reggie Bullock, 30% total from the field.
Oh, God. Yeah, when they said Bullock was not playing yesterday, I was like, yes.
Sweet.
Got a chance.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a chance. As long as you don't have to take those eight line drive three bricks, you know, that was eight shots that you were going to be able to potentially get up. And I mean, but gosh, we can't have
Kemba Walker is not a great field goal percentage guy throughout his career. He's about 40%.
That's 10% higher than Tim Hardaway Jr.
The Mavs are the second worst shooting team in the league from the field. Only Miami is worse. The Mavs shoot 38% as a team. We are tied with Detroit. Not a usually good place to be when you're tied with the Pistons. So the second worst field goal percentage team. And in terms of threes, they're 19th. 34%. So 34% from three and 38% field goal. Ugh. Sheesh.
Yeah, but I mean, look. Christian Wood is just not reliable with his 44% from three. You can't trust him, you know? It's good, but it's It's just really untrustworthy in its goodness.
You have to draft Mike McCarthy or Jason Kidd in your DFW head coaching draft.
Oh, gosh. Right now, it's McCarthy because McCarthy's actually done a good job this year compared to Jason Kidd, who has not done a good job. So, I don't know. Like at least McCarthy doesn't try and, like, you know, outsmart himself and outsmart. Like, I mean, I was reading something on Reddit the other day. Like, Mavericks fans were crushing Kidd and saying, like, this team is bad right now almost exclusively because of the rotations, which is completely Jason Kidd's responsibility. The rotations are awful.
Well, they're bad, one, because of the talent. And
but
two, I guess you can take it to
it absolutely is rotations. Because Christian Wood's part
down
of
to
that.
Me, break down to me rotations.
What part of it? Like, where who should be getting more minutes?
Yeah, besides Christian Wood getting more minutes. Are we breaking down, you know, that Finney Smith and Dwight Powell should not be? But again, who are you going to play?
I think you can find enough minutes for Christian Wood by just subtracting a handful from Bullock and Hardaway. And gosh, at this point, and I know Mike's been on this part, at this point, like, go see if Jaden Hardy can do anything for you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's playing great in the G League while, you know, Jared Sandler is dropping uncomfortable innuendos with children watching. But, you know, fine. Give me more Christian Wood. Give me more Josh Green. Give me something other than what I know is bad, which is what Reggie Bullock and Tim Hardaway Jr. have been.
All right, we're going to go inside the NFC East with what Filthy did to Green Bay last night. Aaron Rodgers hurt as well at 9 o'clock. But let's go around the rest of the NFL with some of the storylines, including probably the game of the day that ended with another Raiders walk-off.
Hands off to Jacobs, stutters to the right, bursts through the hole, 20, 25, 30. He's off to the races here in Seattle. Nobody's going to catch him. 25, 20, 10. Bye-bye, Josh. 86 yards in overtime to walk it off for a second straight week.
And with that win, if you follow Peyton Russell on Twitter,
that's right,
you would know that every single team in the NFC East is a playoff team.
NFC Beast.
As of this morning.
Did you come up with that?
I did, actually. It's really good. I tweeted it out like 7 years ago, probably.
Damn, this is why you got full time. It's takes like those. Yeah, first day of full time.
That's right, baby. Let's go.
What's your first big purchase?
Did you sign a contract?
No, I just accepted an offer.
Okay.
So if does that mean I'm full time, I guess, or I don't know.
Yeah, probably without the benefits and everything.
What's your first big purchase?
Ooh, I'll probably go on a trip somewhere. I'll go on a trip, a nice trip.
Okay. You just got back from California and
London. Went to Ireland. London. I got to one up it now. I'm making my own money now.
Josh Jacobs,
trust fund Peyton,
AFC player of the week offensively, 33 for 229 on the ground, had the 86 yard walk off. Oh yeah, and he had 6 catches for 74 yards as the Raiders beat Seattle in Seattle, and getting a little bit of heat off of Josh McDaniels. Game of the day.
Yeah,
that was exciting.
Josh Jacobs fully qualified to be quarterback of the Ravens now. With those 229 rushing yards. It's not all about passing, so why can't Josh Jacobs be a quarterback, you know?
All right, let's move it on over to the Ravens with the insulting segue. Jacksonville, Baltimore, back and forth at the very end. Justin Tucker with a chance to win it.
From 67 yards, Tucker puts a foot to it. The 67-yard field goal is no good! No good! The Jaguars win it! What a win for Jacksonville!
So the Ravens lose. Man, how many close games have they been playing this year? Jacksonville, who the Cowboys are getting coming up in this little AFC South schedule. It's going to be the Colts, going to be Jacksonville, going to have the Texans as well. But Trevor Lawrence, who there's been many questions about, Bobby, balls out 29 for 37, 321, and some big-time throws at the end to Marvin Jones and Zay Jones as Jacksonville has Justin Tucker come up short. The Jags are 4-7. The Ravens are 7-4.
Yep, and Christian Kirk with the big two-point conversion catch there, which we were all praying for the two-point conversion. Like, don't be a coward now,
yeah.
Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Go for it. Finish this game off. And with that two-point conversion, I do want to point out, because I know we've used him as a bit of a kick-like target for us is Christian Kirk.
What's a kick like target?
I don't know. I was trying to think of what kick. I don't know what I was trying to.
Punching bag.
Punching bag is probably the word I was looking for.
Yeah. I know that you're not used to being 3 hours deep into the show right now, so you're
no.
Your brain
I'm
getting...
I'm delirious. This is what happens when I don't get the extra 30 minutes of sleep. I think that this is what I've argued for the whole time. He's now on pace this year, Christian Kirk, for 87 receptions, 1,100 yards, and 11 touchdowns.
Whoa.
He's had a good year.
And we all laughed at that contract.
Yeah. I mean,
he said he screwed up the market.
They did screw up the market, but he's been good, especially the last several weeks. He's played really well.
And Lamar throwing 16 of 32, 254, one touchdown. And after the game, someone was saying, don't pay him the money. Use it to make the rest of the team better. And Lamar had some advice for him to eat something. It was not leftover stuffing or cranberry. Lamar later erases the tweet.
Stuffing? You what was he talking about then?
He was talking about like a drumstick.
A drumstick?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be equal to a drumstick.
Ooh, those can be pretty good, actually.
Eat a drumstick.
Okay.
Drumstick. Yeah, drumstick.
I don't see what's so
you
offensive
about
that. You
gotta take about 5 letters in the middle of that.
No need to delete that. That sounds lovely. If somebody, you know, they tell you to eat a drumstick. Madden used to do that all the time after the games on Thanksgiving.
Are
so.
You still paying Lamar?
Yeah, like, I mean, you don't ever want to hit quarterback purgatory, but I never want to hear from people. Like, every week it shows us more and more, like, don't ever tell me he's better than Dak. He's not. It's nowhere close.
Factoring in the running?
It's nowhere close. That's all he has is he can run. Great. You can run and also, like, be a 50% passer.
Is a Hurts-Dak comparison insulting?
Yes. I mean, this year he's been good, but, yeah, like it's not – one is a top 10 quarterback. The other two are not.
Lamar not happy after the game.
Do you remember the last time you played in this stadium?
Yeah, they told me college, and I lost again. So, f*** this.
Just what emotions do you think about when you think about that? How does that make you feel?
How would you feel if you lose?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Those are such stupid questions.
The emotions.
Yeah, like, do you remember the last time you played here? Yeah, I lost. What? Just talk about the emotions of that.
What was your mindset?
Oh, gosh.
That's my favorite.
What was your mindset?
What's your mindset? What's the most generic media question you try to not ask when you're in the locker room?
I try not to say talk about the challenges of XYZ. That one I don't. Which, I mean, I get it. There's only so many ways you can phrase things, and it's there are certain things that are going to sound
cliche.
Yeah,
generic.
It's just it's natural to have that happen. But man, like, just I don't know. Pick up a like pick up a thesaurus or something. Find some find some different.
Not the thesaurus.
Yeah, find some synonyms.
Who on the Cowboys? Who on the Cowboys beat needs a thesaurus?
Ooh.
I'll say me. Just
Eatman.
To protect myself.
All right. You could have said, oh, I don't think it's this guy. The voice of America's team.
No, it's not him.
Brad Sham. And then we'll go around the rest of the NFC East at 9. Brad Sham all in on Odell. And has Brad ever woken up to the flight attendant saying, off the plane with your microphone? Brad Sham next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Here we go. Prescott with a little boot. Out to the right. Throws it to Schultz. Diving to the goal line. Touchdown, Cowboys. Two for Dalton Schultz. Two for you.
All the tight ends getting involved. A lot of viral moments in that game. as the Cowboys get the W on Thanksgiving Day. This man had the call. He joins us every Monday at this time. Brad Shan, the voice of America's team, on the Diamond Factory Hotline here on Sean and RJ. Bobby Belt in Choppy's spot today and tomorrow. Good morning, Brad. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you guys. I hope I don't sound distracted. There's some drama in this Korea-Ghana game going on here right now.
Oh, give us an update.
Well, it was 2-0 Ghana, and then Korea tied it, and then Ghana just a few minutes ago went ahead 3-2, and they looks like they've got about 9 minutes left plus the 7 or 12 minutes of stoppage time that they're giving all these games.
You a big soccer fan?
I'm a big soccer fan.
Where is it on the sports scale, the Brad Sham sports scale with baseball, football, and whatever else?
Is that how, see, it depends how high on the event. This, in my opinion, this event is the best sporting event in the world. And that's because you have the very best professional players who play for clubs all over the world, but they come together to play for their country. You just imagine. Maybe we'll see it by the time 26 comes around. I don't know. But at some point, sometime in the future, the United States will be really they'll be competitive on the men's level the way they are already competitive to dominant on the women's level. When that happens, just imagine how American sports fans, how your Tolos will react when you can combine winning with pure unadulterated nationalism.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like it. And that's what you see at all these World Cups. It's the best.
What are your top two storylines of the World Cup so far?
You know, I think the I think one of them would certainly be some of the upsets. Yeah. You know, Argentina losing and Germany losing, and so there's is there a new balance in the world football order? They call it football.
They do.
And then the other one for us would certainly be, can the United States win? Or I think they can actually advance if they have the right score and combination. They don't have to win, but it will be harder. So the other one would be, can the United States advance, and how well can they do?
What is the state of the U.S. program?
It ebbs and flows. It's average. I mean, I worked in professional soccer in the 70s doing PR, and then I broadcast it for 9 or 10 years in the 90s. And it has the difficulty here.
Broadcast it for who in the 90s? Who'd you do it for?
I did the what was then the Dallas Burn, and when they became FC Dallas, I did their games on TV.
Okay.
For several years. So part of the problem is that in most of these countries, it's the most popular team sport, and they're going to get the best athletes. And our best athletes mostly tend to go where they can make some big money, because we teach them to care about that.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with big money, you know, as you well know, Sean. we're competing. Our soccer players, high school level, college level, you know, the sport's competing with football and basketball. Frankly, they're not competing with baseball as much anymore, probably on that same level for athletes.
Yeah.
But the big money's in those other sports, and I don't believe that's happening in most of these other countries. There's no question where the best young Brazilian and British and et cetera, Argentine, there's no question where those best athletes are going to play. And so that's part of the problem. And so the growth of MLS, which gets not a lot of play, is really important, because the more competitive teams MLS has, using at least some significant percentage of American players, the more attention there will be to winning, and then the more attention brings more money, and the more money will be attracting more players, and then the better players, then we have a chance to compete internationally.
Brad Sham joining us on the Diamond Factory Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. let's say that I just was in a turkey coma on Thursday and I fell asleep for the whole game. How would you summarize Cowboys Giants?
I would say it was a little disappointing in the first half, but workmanlike. And then the second half looked a little bit more like expected. And I think it was fine. They did what they absolutely had to do. There was not an equal distribution of talent on the field. The Giants had way too many people who were hurt, and that's why the offensive sluggishness of the first half was a little disappointing. Not because they were coming off what they did against Minnesota, because I said it during the broadcast in Minnesota, and we may have talked about it the next day. In the NFL, last week and this week have never met. They have nothing to do with each other. So don't judge what happened last week by what you think should happen next week. It's a different game. It's a different environment. It's a different mentality. So the fact that they had some problems with the Giants that they didn't have with the Vikings, even though the Vikings are a better team than the Giants, that didn't really concern me. You just don't want to let a team that you're better than hang around, because anything, as we're seeing, anything can happen in these games. And then they didn't in the end. They didn't. The one regret I have is that I think I didn't say it on the air, Sean. Late in the first half, I was thinking, and I know I said it to Bob Thomas, my statistician, I said, well, can they get the tight ends involved, please? I'm not kidding. I really, because they had two catches for tight ends. I think that's one of their weapons.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit of what happened in the second half, and that really helped. It opened things up a little bit. And then the Giants kind of got beaten down. And so, you know, some of these games, Indianapolis won't be as easy as people want to think. People want to think that because they don't know anything about the Colts, but they've got some good players. Now, it's a game that Dallas, I think they're already a big favorite, but I mean, it won't be easy. The good news is, on paper and the way that the Cowboys are playing, I think there's a reasonable expectation that you can win these next three, and then you become the NFL equivalent of bowl eligible when you get to 11.
Did you leave Thursday's game? Do you feel better about the run defense or the receiver group?
That's a good question. The run defense is always, maybe the receiver group, but I include the tight ends in the receiver group. But here's the thing about the run defense. It's the numbers to which they held Barkley. That's great.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones.
Yep.
You know, I think there were opportunities the Giants may have had to try to run the ball more and didn't. And you can't control the other coach's thinking, and that kind of can play into it. The only thing about judging the run defense is the game sometimes dictates that strategy, and it can kind of skew your perception of what you're looking at. It's not in a vacuum. So I think they're going to still have to deal with the run defense issues, and anybody who watched last night knows that that's not going away, but there's ways to combat it that don't necessarily have to do just with scheme and talent, but also with how the game is going.
Brad Sham here on Sean and RJ, 105 through the Fan. Where do you stand on all this Odell Beckham hype?
I think I'd be for signing him. I think that people need to, and the weekend airplane incident aside, because I think I saw your tweet. I don't think that really has any effect on anything.
Yeah.
There's too many people who know him. I've never met him. Too many people who know him, including I spoke to Bob Papa, the Giants announcer, about this last week. And I mean, there's a lot of people who say he's a good teammate and he wants to win. And that's okay with me. He can be selfish. Receivers can be selfish. As long as they also want to win more and they're good teammates. I think there's two things that I would say. One is look at Gallup, who is maybe kind of just still rounding into physical form, And we're on the same rough, except 3 weeks later, trajectory. Bobby's written a lot about this, that with Beckham that we are with Gallup. So he's got a – now, he's done it before. He's had an ACL. He knows how to deal with it. He's a veteran player, and he's obviously an extremely talented player. But just don't expect to see, you know, Beckham at the height of his power. And the other thing, people really don't want to hear this, but this is professional football. And you can't fall so much in love with the idea of signing the guy that you make a stupid business decision. He's going to want more than 1 year.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to just come in here for Christmas vacation. Or here or New York or Buffalo or wherever he's going to. And I don't know how many people are really serious about signing him for what he's going to want, or if the Cowboys are competing against themselves in reality. I don't know that. But I do know that he's going to want multiple years. Now, your decision has to be how much money are you willing to tie up for how long in order to have him now? I'd be interested in seeing if him being in the mix next year would not be a good thing. They knew they had to address the receiver thing when they let Cooper go, when they traded Cooper. And the reason you know that they knew it is that they signed Washington and they drafted a receiver in the third round. So obviously they were paying attention to it. And I still think that he would help. But you have to be careful. You can't mortgage – unless you really don't care about, you know, the money that you're going to need to sign Lamb and Diggs and Parsons and Pollard. But you have to pay attention to those things.
Last one for you. Did you view the Jeff Saturday promotion as an insult to the coaching profession?
I did not, but I'm not in the coaching profession. But I would say that to me, it looked like a unique case where clearly he has the respect of a lot of people in the club and the football business. He's a leader. There's not much doubt about that. He was one of their great leaders on those Colts teams. I do understand the sensitivity of longtime coaches, and I especially understand the sensitivity of black coaches who look at something like that and a guy who's never coached and he gets hired and they say, well, this is what we're talking about, but nobody's listening. I get that. If they hired him long term, I might view it differently. But on an interim basis, considering the volatility of everything that's going on with their franchise, I didn't consider it an insult. Don't know if I'd have done it, but I didn't consider it an insult. But again, I'm not a coach.
Enjoy the rest of the match. Thank you for the soccer education. Player show?
More than welcome. We are in stoppage time, by the way, and I believe I'm seeing 10 minutes of stoppage time.
10 minutes. You have a player show?
Yes, Malik Hooker.
Oh.
At Cane Rosso, the star, and of course, Hooker will be talking about the team from whence he came.
Thank you, brother. This was fantastic. Appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
A little less noise from you next time.
I was ready. I was locked and loaded.
I was hogging about that. I had a lot of questions for you.
Yeah. Y'all,
all right.
Y'all just had to talk about how Korea is a
guys
Ghana.
Later. Have a good day.
how what?
How Korea is a Ghana.
That was good.
Thank you.
15 minutes. That was my fault, y'all, with the Bobby, with the no Bobby question. Had a lot to get to. I've been texting Brad throughout the entire morning. Final hour.
Wow.
Bobby's going to tell you if we should be more or less worried about the Eagles after last night and the update on the Odell plane incident next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay.
Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.